And I'll start with the offense. I'll get to the bullpen usage. I'll get to Christian Scott. I'll get to how the ninth inning was managed. But unlike Saturday's game, where the Mets had no opportunities, the Mets had very few opportunities to score runs. I was going through their lack of runner in scoring position chances until the very end. They had no chances. They weren't getting traffic on the bases. Unlike Saturday and even Friday. Friday, they went 0-for-0 with runners in scoring position. On Saturday, they didn't get their first runner in scoring position until Mark Vientos' two-out double in the ninth inning. Let that sink in. So the Mets went essentially two games against the Marlins without ever even getting a real scoring opportunity. In Sunday's game against the Marlins, they get the base hit by A.J. Ewing and the stolen base, which I appreciated that A.J. Ewing was aggressive because A.J. Ewing has had his issues being thrown out trying to steal bases. And you don't want to lose that aggressiveness. A part of why A.J. Ewing is in the major leagues, a part of why there's faith and hope that he can turn into an impact major leaguer is his ability to steal bases. If this is a guy who at some point in his major league career can hit for a high average, get on base, and then proceed to steal 50 bases, that'd be awesome. So I'm glad he didn't lose his aggressiveness. But in the first inning, runner on second, two outs, Vientos flies out to center field. I'm thinking, is that going to be their only scoring opportunity? But it shouldn't be. They're facing Tyler Phillips, who, while he isn't technically an opener, isn't going to go deep into the game. You're going to get to face the real meat of the Florida Marlins, Miami Marlins bullpen. Then in the second inning, I always love these. You get a gift. You get a defensive miscue gift. Marcus Semien, who is just atrocious, hits a weak ground ball to third base, and Javier Sanoa makes a terrible throw. And Marcus Semien goes to second. And so here we go. Runner on second, one out, two cracks at the apple. MJ Melendez strikes out. What a shock, considering he's been awful over the last few weeks. Tyrone Taylor works a walk, which I wouldn't have even faced Tyrone Taylor if I'm the Marlins, if I'm Clayton McCullough, because the on-deck hitter is the pitcher spot, also known as Hayden Senger. Now, I was stunned that Hayden Senger gave one a ride, and off the bat, I thought had a chance to possibly be over the right fielder Casey's head for a double, but instead it gets run down by Casey. Inning is over. So now we're two innings into this game. The Mets have had three at-bats with runners in scoring position. They're 0-for-3. So far different from Saturday and Friday, but here we go. The Met offense getting opportunities and not coming through. In the fourth inning, they get a one-out hit by Brett Beatty, a nice walk by MJ Melendez. It gets Phillips out of the game. It sets up 2-on, 2-out for Tyrone Taylor, and he flies out to left field. So there's your fourth opportunity with runners in scoring position. But we're not done yet. Fifth inning, two-out rally, a little two-out magic. Bo Bichette, welcome to the series, base hit. A.J. Ewing behind in the count, base hit to right field. Quality day by A.J. Ewing. Two on, two out. Mark Vientos grounds out. Mark Vientos, outside of his double at the end of game two, a very quiet series, especially in this game when he comes up with multiple opportunities. Sixth inning, leadoff walk to Brett Beatty. Okay, we're cooking, we're in business. What does that stiff Marcus Semien do? Bounces into a double play. So the traffic was there. Then you get to the seventh inning. One out walk to Carson Bench, steals second base. Great to see. Two opportunities now with a runner on second and less than two outs. Bo Bichette flies out the center. A.J. Ewing strikes out. We are now at 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position if you are scoring at home. I was, so I have it ready for you. And then in the ninth inning, you get the leadoff hit by MJ Melendez. You get the Nick Morabito caught stealing. Nick Morabito has had a very tough start to his career. I laugh because it's not the end of the world. It's early in his career. He's got a lot of time to prove himself. But between not catching a baseball that he got to, which essentially turned that game haywire earlier in the week against the Nationals, he strikes out every at-bat, caught stealing in a big spot in the ninth inning. And even after that, you get the two-out walk by Luis Torrens, goes to second on a wild pitch, and here's Carson Benj, who needs to understand that there are certain moments where it's okay to challenge. Carson Benj missed the chance to challenge on Friday. We talked about it on our last episode of the Rico. It turned out not to matter because he drew a walk anyway. The 1-2 pitch in the ninth inning was borderline enough where you have to challenge it. And I went to the MLB Game Day app just to see. I think it would have been upheld, but it was going to be very close. And so before we even get to what happened in the ninth and what the Met pitching did, nine innings, five hits, zero runs, 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position. And those numbers were not against Max Meyer, who spins the ball well. It wasn't against Yuri Perez, who throws 99. It was against the entirety of the Marlins bullpen. Tyler Phillips, Calvin Fauché, John King, Anthony Bender, Michael Peterson, and Pete Fairbanks in his 8.5 ERA. Those are the guys that put that pitching line together. So no more, let's tip our cap. Hey, Max Meyer really knows how to spin them. No. You got shut down with 8 runner and scoring position opportunities by that. And it's unacceptable. And so you put Christian Scott and every other reliever that came in a situation in which one tiny mistake will cost you. I thought Christian Scott continues to be impressive. He was not dominant in this game. I thought what was impressive about Scott in this game was his ability to make the big pitch. Gives up a 1-out double in the first inning, gets through it. Loads up the bases in the third inning, control, major issue. Bases loaded, 1-out, gets a huge strike out of Owen Casey, gets Stowers to ground out. 2-on, 2-out, 2-on, 1-out in the fourth inning, gets a big strikeout and a flyout, and pitches into the sixth inning. Impressive. Look, half the battle is you're going to put guys on base. Are you able to make the big pitch to get out of it? And Christian Scott left it out there, man. He goes into the sixth inning, doesn't give up a run. He did everything he could. He wasn't dominant. He wasn't perfect, but he was good enough. And if the Mets had any semblance of an offense, he would have had his first major league win on Sunday afternoon against the Miami Marlins. Waskar Brazoban was able to make the big pitch to get through the sixth inning. Brooks Raley was shaky as all hell and, quite frankly, was lucky that the Mets didn't just lose that game in the seventh. Then he gives up that base hit to Xavier Edwards, and A.J. Ewing makes the great throw home. The defense of A.J. Ewing, especially the arm strength after we watched Luis Robert Jr. man center field earlier this season, he's not giving the center field job back. A.J. Ewing is the guy. I don't know what he's ever going to be offensively, but right now he plays very sturdy defense. He still has the confidence to try to swipe a bag. He's got to cut down on the strikeouts, which is, I think a lot of it is just being really conservative and taking a lot of pitches that he shouldn't take. But A.J. Ewing is clearly going to get this opportunity to play every single day. And his defense in the seventh inning kept the tide. He kept him in the game. He did everything he could. And even after Raley put the 3 straight guys on, he gets the big out of Kyle Stowers to at least get to the seventh inning. Great inning by Luke Weaver in the eighth. And now let's get to the ninth with Devin Williams. The mistake that Devin Williams made was the double to Christopher Morel. He got ahead of him, gives up a rip line drive in a left field, very different than what happened Thursday, where it was bad luck on a blooper. And now you put yourself in a spot where if you're Devin Williams, where you got to be perfect. You need strikeouts if you're going to get through this inning, especially after Sanoa laid down the bunt perfectly and there's a runner on third. I agreed with Gary Cohen. Gary was very adamant about not facing Hicks and Xavier Edwards and loading up the bases for Heriberto Hernandez, who had come in earlier pinch hitting for Casey against Raley in the seventh inning. He was right. Now, we got there in a very shaky way because Mendy allowed Devin Williams to face Liam Hicks and fell behind him, got it to 3-2, and then tried to, I think it was a fastball up that he tried to elevate, and it was way high, and Hicks drew the walk. And then at that point, after the strategy meeting, they walked Xavier Edwards. So Gary Cohen, who was pushing that from the moment, really the bunt was laid down by Sanoa, I agreed with him. It is not a good spot to be in when it's a tie game and the winning run's on third base and there's less than two outs, but you're choosing the hitters. You're looking at who's coming up, and you're saying, okay, we've got Liam Hicks, who's got 44 RBIs this season, hit two home runs the day earlier. You've got Xavier Edwards, who's hitting over 300. I'm not facing either of these guys. So I thought it was a no-brainer, honestly, to walk both of those guys. But then you got to execute. That's what it comes down to. Then if you're Devin Williams in a bases-loaded one-out spot, you know you can't fall behind. Obviously, you got nowhere to put anybody. You can't have hard contact unless it's right at somebody in the infield. The infield's in, so even a ground ball, like, it can easily sneak past the drawn-in infield. You can't really play back because turning two is a long shot. It's just the game was lost, besides the offense, by Devin Williams giving up the leadoff double. Because now you need perfection. And it made it worse that it was a grand slam, no doubt. Like, Heriberto Hernandez, it's a fly ball to center field. The Mets lose 1-0. It's the same loss. It's the same patheticness. But, you know, you tack on a game-winning grand slam by a non-household name, it just adds to the embarrassment. It adds to LOL Mets. It adds to, what did Joe Davis say? Oh, the Mets. Oh, the Mets. I mean, right now, he's right. The Mets. That's what we are.